Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. My gosh, what a beautiful day we have. We could have used it yesterday. Yesterday was a beautiful day. We had a wedding and a baptism in the afternoon and had the race for vocations in the morning, which I have the joy of organizing each year. Of course, this year would have been my 10th consecutive one to run it, but I forgot my shoes. And many people accuse me of lying and saying that, but it's true. I really did forget my shoes on Friday night, went over, we had mass and big dinner at the downtown on Georgia Street and kind of get ready. And then I'm friends with the priest that's the pastor at St. John's. So I just kind of stayed there and, yep, forgot the shoes. So anyway, but I'm not really too upset about that because that was 13.1 miles. But anyway, thanks to those who are here who ran. We had 192 people overall, several from St. Joe. So thanks for being there. I was just thinking about our gospel and our readings today, and it's, as is everything, so much of the scripture is about encounters with God. It's stories of encounters with God. Our first reading comes from the history of the early church, the fifth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And what do we find here? But these apostles are coming before the Sanhedrin, and they've already told these guys, stop talking about Jesus, cut it out. And they've threatened them that if you do it, you're going to die. And they keep doing it. And why do they do it? Because they had an encounter with the living, breathing God, Jesus. And they had come to know a Savior. They knew what life was like without God, and they didn't like it. And Jesus came, and they had walked along with Him, and it changed every bloody thing in their lives. And they knew that Jesus, these encounters with the Lord is what spurred them on. 11 out of the 12 died for Jesus. John is the only apostle that did not, was not a martyr. They did it because of these encounters with the Lord. Look at the second reading from the book of Revelation. Here we have a look, a glimpse. John is given this vision of what heavenly worship looks like, what heavenly encounters with God look like. And there's power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing all sitting forever and ever right there. And these living creatures, the cherubim and the seraphim and the angels, the choirs and all of them, the thrones, the dominions, all of them are around the throne. And who's on there but Jesus? This profound heavenly encounter with the living Christ. And you and I are invited into that. Our gospel is something pretty cool too. Here we have Simon, Peter, and Thomas, and Nathaniel, and Zebedee's sons, and a couple other people, and they're out fishing, and no luck. You have to wonder how bright they were, though, because they were only fishing on the left side of the boat. But then they have an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, try the other side. Boom. And they brought more than they could ever have imagined. All of that because of an encounter with the Lord. And then He makes breakfast for them. It's beautiful. It's all about encounters with the Lord. I have to wonder if that isn't why the Lord is giving us a perpetual adoration chapel. In order to foster in an atmosphere, an environment, a place where we, these living, breathing encounters with the Lord can take place every day, all of the time. I'm pretty sure that's why the Lord is sending us this chapel. You may have watched the videos that have been going out about adoration this past week and about the chapel. You read my blue sheets in the bulletin the last couple weeks and have read the columns and things. And it's on the radar, but this weekend is sign-up weekend. And so we're going to do that in a second. But I guess it's hard for me because I get so excited about it not to go through all 15 of these reasons why it's such a great idea. But I tell you this, it's all about this encounter with the Lord. And when we encounter Jesus, everything changes in the best way you could possibly imagine. There's a story about a guy, and maybe you've heard this story. He was sawing. And he spent all day sawing, and a lot of things are falling this morning. And he's sawing away, and this other guy comes over and he says, "Dude, you know, if you sharpened your saw, you'd be a lot more efficient at your sawing." And the guy says, "I don't have time to sharpen my saw. I'm kind of busy sawing." And the guy says, "No, but like if you actually sharpen the thing, then you would be faster." He didn't do it. I think of a weekly holy hour as sharpening our saw. Because if we do that one thing, it makes the rest of the week so much more grace-filled, so much more beautiful. And it's more, I don't know how to say it, but it, you know what I'm talking about. And it's when we sharpen that saw, it's a spiritual thing. And so there's 168 hours in the week. I'm asking everybody in the parish to give 1 hour to Jesus. 1 hour out of 168. You still get a 167. But that 1 hour that you spend with Jesus will transform the other 167. And it is a grace from the Lord that, you know, in Scripture he asks us, "Will you not spend an hour with me?" And this is our opportunity to say, "Yes, Jesus, I will spend an hour with you. I will commit to this because I realize that time given to you is the best time in the world, and also it is the most productive and fruitful time." Because as Pope Francis talks about wasting time with Jesus, and it's not a waste at all, because it turns out it's the most useful thing we could ever do with our time. In any event, I do want to go over, pull out your sheets here, and you can take a look at the one that says, "I would spend an hour with Jesus, but..." I just want to go over some of these excuses that I often hear, because, you know, when I was in Greenwood, we did a lot of pushes for the chapel that they've had there since 1996, and I heard a lot of people with excuses, so I just wanted to kind of go through them really quickly. "I would spend an hour with Jesus every week." So y'all realize what I'm asking you to do is to say, "I will take, for example, Tuesday at 4 p.m. Boom. Or Friday at 11 p.m. Boom. That's your hour. And there's 900 people in this parish, families, and hopefully we won't have a problem. But like, I would give an hour to Jesus, but I don't have the time. St. Francis de Sales, he said, everybody needs to pray at least a half hour every day. Unless you're busy, then you need a full hour. And that, we're all busy, I get it. I'm busy, you're busy, but we give an hour to the Lord, and it transforms everything. Number two, "But I don't know what adoration is." Well, adoration is simply going in front of Jesus. Praying the scriptures, praying the rosary there, whatever you want to do, just meditating. You know, studies show that 2 minutes of meditating every day is enough to rewire your brain for the better. And whatever you want to do there, right? Like, it's being in front of the Lord. It's encountering Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Number three, "But adoration is not my thing." And I'd have to wonder if spending time with Jesus is not our thing. I think that would be a red flag. Number four, "But I have kids and they're too loud and poorly behaved." Remember, Jesus says, "Let the children come to me." Jesus likes the sounds of children. Number five, "But I'd rather just pray in my house." That's much the same as saying, "I'd just as happily be on the phone with my best friend instead of just hanging out with him." Not the same. Being in the physical presence makes a big difference. Number six, "But I live too far away." Well, when two people are in love, they'll drive however far it takes to get to each other. Number seven, "But I don't want to commit to an hour because I'm too busy." I always think if you don't commit, you don't do. That's true in my life. Probably true in most of our lives. Unless we commit to it, we don't do it. Number eight, "But the hour that I want is already taken." Don't worry, we can have as many people as we want. Number 9, but I'm not holy enough. Well, how better to become holy? Number 10, but the weather gets bad. Don't worry, we'll shut it down in the blizzards. Number 11, but I'm afraid to go out at night. Then do it during the day. Number 12, but someone else will do it. No, they won't. That's the problem with a lot of things. We always think somebody else will take care of that. And then that somebody else doesn't come. Number 13, but I don't like this idea. To which I say, well, good to talk to the Lord about that. Okay? Now, notice the last line. Notice how each excuse starts with a but. How big is your but? And we cannot have one. You got it? Okay. So, folks, let's take out our white sheets of paper with our pencils. Everybody will please do this together. And so we're all doing this. We take out our pencil, and I'm going to do it with you. I'm going to write my name. This is more of a spiritual campaign. We do this type of things with capital campaigns, but why not do it with a spiritual campaign? So I'm writing my name.